WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. All UVA employees must be vaccinated by December 8th or face termination. Two Charlottesville-based potters donate a portion of their proceeds to feed the hungry. And what effect is early voting having on Virginia's elections this year? This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 22nd. All University of Virginia employees must get vaccinated against COVID-19 or face suspension or termination. The Daily Progress reports UVA staff must get the shots by December 8th to comply with an executive order issued by President Biden. The order requires vaccines at institutions with federal government contracts. The Supreme Court of Virginia will not reconsider its decision to allow Governor Ralph Northam to remove the statue of Robert E. Lee in Richmond. A group of Richmond residents sought to block the statue's removal, but after the Virginia Supreme Court's unanimous decision last month, siding with the governor, the massive statue was cut into pieces and stored. The group requested a rehearing, but on Thursday, the court denied the petition. Attorney General Mark Herring said in a statement that it is time for Virginia to, quote, move away from a past when leaders of a racist insurrection were glorified. Today at 5 is the deadline to request an absentee ballot to be mailed to you in Virginia. Sarah McCloskey with VPM has a few other reminders ahead of the November 2nd election.
As of Wednesday, the Virginia Public Access Project reports more than 515,000 Virginians have voted early. Of those, over 179,000 cast their ballot by mail, and about the same number have requested mail-ins. All absentee ballots are required to have a witness sign them. If a signature is missing, election officials say local registrars will contact the voter within 3 days of the mail being received. That ballot must be updated and returned by noon on Friday, November 5th, to count. If Virginians want to go in person, bring an ID. Early voting ends October 30th.
In a last push, 1 week before Election Day, Terry McAuliffe will host an event with the nation's highest-ranking Democrat, President Joe Biden. Will appear with the former Virginia governor in Arlington on October 26th. It'll be the second time that Biden has campaigned with McAuliffe. Thursday's announcement comes as polls show a close race between the top two gubernatorial candidates. McAuliffe is aiming to get a second term as Virginia's top executive, competing against Republican businessman Glenn Youngkin. Princess Blanding of the newly formed Liberation Party is running as a third-party candidate on the ballot. Last year, Virginia ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, a state senator is taking the fight to Congress. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Testifying before a House panel Thursday, State Senator Jennifer McClellan told members of Congress that the time has come to add a new amendment to the Constitution, one that says equality of rights under law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex.
It is time for me to stop fighting the same fights that my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother had to fight. It is time for me to tell my children, Jackson and Samantha, that the United States Constitution guarantees them both equality under the law.
After Democrats won control of the General Assembly, lawmakers approved the Equal Rights Amendment, making Virginia the 38th state to ratify the ERA. Congressman Jerry Conley is a Democrat from Fairfax County who says that put the amendment over the threshold of states needed to ratify.
I contend, based on this testimony, that the ERA is now an amendment to the Constitution duly ratified by the 38th state, the Commonwealth of Virginia.
The final decision on ratification comes down to the Archivist of the United States, who's currently relying on a Trump-era opinion that the deadline had passed years ago. Advocates for the ERA are urging the Biden Justice Department to issue a new opinion, or for Congress to take action, making it clear that equal rights have no deadline. I'm Michael Pope.
Two Charlottesville-based potters are donating a portion of their proceeds to the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, WMRE's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Nan Rothwell and Becky Garrity are two artisans who make, among other things, bowls, and now they're helping to put food in the bowls of others. From now until November 14th, typically their busiest time of year as people buy holiday gifts, they're donating 20% of their sales to the food bank. Rothwell explains.
It's such a need in our community, and it's so ridiculous that people are going to get hungry. It feels good to be able to have part of what I sell go to something I believe in.
They both make pieces that are meant to be well-used and well-loved. Plates, bowls, mugs, and teapots in iridescent and earthy tones. Rothwell learned how to make pots in England.
And people who know pottery can still see that influence in my pots even 50 years later. It's kind of a long, shaggy dog story, but I was traveling and I went to someone's house for dinner and she was a potter and I ended up staying for 6 months and then going to art school for 2 years.
Garrity did an apprenticeship in Japan for 2 years.
That was really wonderful and it's, I think, driven my sensibility and form.
She used to organize in-person dinner fundraisers called empty bowl events before the pandemic hit. She and Rothwell enjoy making food-related objects.
And we want other people to have food and enjoy eating also and be able to eat and be fed. So we're hoping this is an incentive for those who have enough to share with others who have less than enough.
You can find out more about their work at GarrityPottery.com and NanRothwellPottery.com. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
And we've got links to more information at WMRA.org. Finally today, let's return our attention to Virginia's fall election. It's breaking new ground. Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch and Michael Pope discuss new voting rules and their impact.
There's something that's different about this election cycle. Jeff Shapiro, what is the influence of unrestricted early voting for a 45-day period?
Right now, we've seen about 515,000 votes cast early. That's just under 10% of the pool of registered voters. Now, the previous gubernatorial election, early voting was limited. Only 196,000 votes were cast. So with an election essentially every day for a month and a half, candidates have to, you know, rev up their get out the vote operations early. And so that means, you know, more mail, more snail mail, more phone calls, more advertising, more social media. Republicans, who had been dead set against all of these early vote initiatives, they too are getting in on the feed. And we're seeing more early voting in Republican areas of the state, though not necessarily at a level comparable to that seen in Democratic areas.
You mentioned that unrestricted early voting might end up increasing turnout. Conventional wisdom is increased turnout helps Democrats and decreased turnout helps Republicans. What's the sort of fulcrum there that might be the number that people are looking at in terms of deciding, you know, which of those might be more effective for which candidate?
If it's between 40% and 42%, that's probably good for the Republicans. You know, their numbers aren't growing as robustly as those of the Democrats, but their voters are far more disciplined. So, for example, in 2009, 1 year after Obama carried the state, Bob McDonnell, a Republican, was elected governor in a landslide. The turnout was roughly 40%. Now, fast forward to 17. Ralph Northam led a Democratic sweep. He won for governor over Ed Gillespie in a 47% turnout. Democrats also nearly took back the House of Delegates that year. That was all about those anti-Trump tailwinds that have been hugely helpful to Democrats over the past 4 years.
Now, I also want to ask you about House races that we should be watching. If you think back to 2017, there was that wave election when you saw lots and lots of seats all over Virginia flip from R to D. Are those the seats that Republicans are targeting in this election cycle?
Well, you know, we've been looking at this over the past few weeks. There are two more that had previously been held by Republicans on the fringes of the Washington suburbs, so Loudoun County, Clark County, Frederick County, the far D.C. suburbs, if you will, and then some. Wendy Gooditis, one of those 17 winners. She's running against Nick Clementi. This is a big dollar race. Clementi is well financed. He's raised over $900,000. Gooditis has over a million. Another race out in the near southwest corner of the state. Chris Hurst is the Democratic incumbent. He's opposed by a Republican, Jason Ballard, a lawyer from very red Craig County. Now, the anchor of this district is Montgomery County. This is the home of Virginia Tech. And if we've seen anything in Virginia, it's that college towns tend to be pretty blue. I think that could be said in this case of a college county. And it is on that that Hearst is pinning his reelection hopes.
All right. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week. I'm hoping to continue this conversation next week, the last week that we get to talk about this before the election. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Roger that.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.